Luke 16. I want to read just five verses, and they're going to be the focus of our ministry this morning. Luke chapter 16, and beginning to read at verse 14. You will remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was approached by his critics at the beginning of chapter 15, where they accused him of welcoming sinners and eating with them. He then taught those three stories, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And then in chapter 16, we had that parable of the dishonest manager last week. And we ended by seeing how important it is that we remain faithful to our God. And it is at that point that we take up the reading again this morning. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and he who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery." So it is this passage that I want us to look at this morning, with this discussion that has been going on between Jesus and his followers. He has shown his critics, yes, he is willing to receive sinners. He will sit down and he will eat with them. He will welcome them. He will listen to them. And in fact, more than that, he will go out looking for them. But then, because his disciples may have become complacent and thought, well, it doesn't matter how we live, he told the story in chapter 16 and says that we are to use the gifts and the skills that God has given to us. We are to live in a way that is faithful to our God. And it is in that context that we then get the response of the Pharisees in verse 14. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard these things and they ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They spoke as if he didn't understand the realities of life. They spoke as if he had no authority. But Jesus shows that he knows exactly what authority he has. He shows that he understands us as human beings. And Luke has introduced the Pharisees as lovers of money. But when Jesus speaks, notice how he describes them in verse 16. "You are those who justify yourselves before men." The Pharisee, the religious leader in the days of Jesus, looked at other people, and when they prayed, as we will see later in Luke's gospel, they said, "Lord, I thank you that I am not like other people, like this sinner." And they said, "We keep the law. We fast, we pray. We are right in the sight of God." And that's how Jesus describes them. He doesn't say that they're just. He says, "You justify yourselves, not before God, but before men." When people criticize you, you say, "But look, this is what the teachers say. This is how we understand the law, and we are right." But then, that little three-letter word comes in, doesn't it? in the middle of verse 15. But God knows your hearts. And this morning, that is what I want to focus on in this message. But God knows your hearts. And I believe in this passage that we can see four different types of heart. Some of them are human hearts, and one is the heart of God. So the first heart that I want us to look at this morning is the human heart. The human heart that is displayed in the lives of these religious leaders. And I've already touched on this to some extent. Verse 14, the heart of the Pharisees, while it had a facade of religion, was in fact covetous, because in verse 14 it says, you are lovers of money. They would do anything that they could to get hold of money. They argued, the money that we have got is the evidence that God is blessing us. We must be living the right way. Look at everything that we have. But it wasn't so much that they were concerned with loving God. They loved money. Verse 15, the divided heart seeks to justify itself before men. I'm all right. I'm better than you are. I have got this sorted. But do you remember how Jesus finished his teaching in verse 13? He actually said, you cannot serve God and money. He's already driven home that point. If you are trying to serve God and feather your own nest, if you are trying to serve God and give priority to the wealth of this world, then you have got it wrong. And these men knew the battles that go on in the lives of every human being. Because don't you feel that at times? I want to serve God, but I do need this. I want to serve God, but if only I had that. I want to serve God, but I can't manage without this. And let's make no mistake. We're no better than the Pharisees because we know this conflict. We know what it is to constantly face day by day the challenges of loving God before we love other things. Think of the current events in the world just in this past week to 10 days. The football world has been rocked, hasn't it? With all these accusations of bribery and corruption. Why? Because people want money. They say, oh, we are committed to football, but it's football that lines our pockets. In the last few days, we have seen the athletics world thrown into disarray by a man who wants to prepare the best of athletes. Now, we don't know whether these accusations will stand up or not, but what is it? It is saying the fitness of the human body is far more important than the worship of God. And we could look at so many different things this time of year as people are going through exams in school and at university. There is a danger in which we can so elevate education that we think this is more important than anything else. It's an exam period. I won't go to church today so that I can get through my exams. The Lord says the human heart is a divided heart. You cannot love God and you have to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, these Pharisees, we are told that they wanted to justify themselves before men. In fairness to them, I think we have to say that they probably wanted to do the right thing. They wanted to live a good life. They wanted to live an upright life. But there are times, and we want to do it in the public domain. We want to be seen of men so that they might give us their praise. If you read verses 14 and 15 carefully, we see here men who have heard the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ has preached. His closing words were, "You cannot serve God and money." Then there's no introduction, there's no explanation, but we are told that the Pharisees ridiculed Jesus. Why did that happen? Because they were confronted with the truth. Jesus hadn't asked them a question. Jesus hadn't said, "Well, what do you think?" But their opinion comes out. And friends, the scriptures tell us, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. By their fruits, you shall know them. The heart is deceitful above all things. Friends, this morning, if you are not a Christian, then you have a dead heart. You have a heart that is tainted by sin. You have a heart that is selfish, because that is what sin has done to us. And the heart of the Pharisees is made clear here. They ridiculed Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the truth, the way to God. They ridiculed him. So, God knows your heart. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is not in your heart, then you have a divided heart. You want to do the right thing, but you cannot do it. The second heart that I want to show you this morning is a guiding heart. More accurately, it would be right to say it is the heart of God. Look at verse 16 and 17. "The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void." I want you to see the opening and closing statements of those two verses. The law and the prophets were until John. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. What is that saying? It is saying that under the Old Testament, the law of God was preached. Right up until John the Baptist, God's law was preached. But the end of verse 17 says, until the end of history, the law of God will be preached. Because it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. You speak to some people today and you get the impression that the Old Testament law has got no place in the life of the Christian. Well, friends, if you read the scriptures for what they actually are, you will find that from the dawn of history, God has spoken to humanity, to human beings, to people like you and myself. And he has taught us how we are to live in a relationship with him. He has taught us how we are to live in companionship with one another. He has taught us how we are to live a disciplined life of work and rest. And these two verses, in reality, tell us that the law of God does not change. The law of God has not become obsolete. But you say, Bernard, we don't have to use the sacrifices and the rituals of the Old Testament. I say, no, and you are right. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has kept those rules, those laws. He has fulfilled all the sacrificial requirements of the Old Testament. But go back to the Ten Commandments, and what do they say to us? The first four say to us how we are to live in relationship to God. You shall have no other gods before me. Verse 13 says, you cannot serve God and money. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Don't make idols. All of those focus on God. The Commandments 5 to 10 tell us how we are to live in relationship with other people. We are to honor our parents. We are not to murder. We are not to commit adultery. We are not to steal. We are not to lie. We are not to covet. Those things still stand today. But you say in the New Testament, Bernard, the Lord Jesus Christ only gave us two commands. Yes, and both of those were from the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God, commands 1 to 4, with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, commandments 5 to 10. Why? Because there is only one message. God cares about us. The Ten Commandments are not a means of crushing us. They are a means of releasing us into a full and complete life. A life that honors God, that puts Him first, that doesn't have us on the throne. What do I get out of it? What does it mean for me? That doesn't matter. God is the preeminent one. The second table of the law, 5 to 10, they tell us how we are to live with other people. Children, if you honor your father and your mother, you will find that life is a lot more peaceful. Parents, if you honor your marriage, if you honor other people, you will find that there is a greater depth of relationship. But we live in a day when men and women have turned away from God. They, like the Pharisees, have created their own rules. And yet the Proverbs say, there's a way which seems right to a man, but it ends in death. What is the heart of God? The heart of God is this. I love you, and I have given you the directions by which you should live. I love you, and because you have failed, I have sent my Son to suffer the judgment that you deserve. Why? In order that our relationship might be restored. Friends, that is what the Christian message is all about. This is the way to love God. We have failed to love God, but God has restored the relationship for all who will love and trust Him. A divided heart, a guiding heart, or the heart of God. Thirdly, a thankful heart. And we are told here in verse 16 that the good news of the kingdom of God is preached and everyone forces his way into it. What does this mean? Well, this means that in the days of Jesus, the truth was being preached and people were wanting to come to Jesus. They were wanting to have a relationship with Him. One day we know that there were at least 5,000 people in the crowd. On another day, there were another 4,000 people in the crowd. They were forcing their way into the kingdom. They wanted to hear about the Lord Jesus. Why did they want to know about him? Why did they want to hear about him? They wanted to hear about him because they knew that he cared about them. And friends, our God is an unchanging God, and he cares as much today. This man receives sinners. This man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them. Yes, and that is true today, friends. Have you broken the Ten Commandments? Do you know what it is to have a divided heart? The Lord Jesus Christ says, come, come, I'll receive you. I am willing. If you are prepared to confess that you have failed to keep my law, you have failed to love me, I have come to find you. Do you remember how John described Jesus? He became flesh and he lived among us. He didn't stand at a distance and say, do this. He said, I am going to come and I'm going to live with you. Luke, later in the gospel, says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The people in these crowds knew that Jesus cared about them. And friends, I want to say to you today, Jesus cares about you. But Bernard, I have failed so often in my life. I've not loved Jesus as I ought to have. I'm like those Pharisees. I have been focused on getting what I want to get. I have been focused on creating a good impression in other people. How can God forgive me? He can, because he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus produced thankful hearts in people, and they wanted to force themselves into the kingdom. I want to ask you today, do you enjoy God's care? Do you have a thankful heart because Jesus has loved and saved you? And the fourth heart that I want us to look at this morning is a faithful heart. You might be surprised that I read on this morning into verse 18, because in the ESV there's a separate heading there, marriage and divorce. Surely that's another section of teaching. No, friends, I don't believe that it is another section of teaching, because Jesus has been challenging the religious leaders and saying, okay, you want to be religious, but in fact, you have become more important than your relationship with God. And my disciples, you have to be careful that you take a lend of God. And God is love. Therefore, he is going to love us. The fourth heart that I want to show you is this faithful heart. And Jesus illustrates this using marriage. What is marriage? Marriage is a gift that God gave to us right at the dawn of humanity. It is a relationship that demands faith from beginning to end. And I believe that in verse 18, Jesus is using an illustration rather than teaching a point of doctrine about marriage. Yes, he does say what he understands about marriage. But what he is saying is, you religious leaders, you say that you are true believers, but in fact, your hearts are far away from God. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. You cannot say that you're married to this woman because, in fact, you have put her aside. And he who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. What is he saying? He is saying unfaithfulness, turning away from God, is as bad as adultery. What is adultery? What is divorce? It is a breaking of the contract of marriage. How does the Bible describe Jesus? Well, in the Old Testament, he is described as a husband. The New Testament describes the church as the bride of Christ. And marriage is a contract, a commitment, a giving and a keeping of vows. Every marriage is threatened in some way or another by Satan. And there has to come to that point at times where each member within the marriage has to say, I have made a promise, I will remain faithful. Friends, vows are not simple. Vows are not just words. They are a contract. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is saying, you say you want to love me. You say you want to serve me. Then stay within the marriage. Stay within the contract of our relationship. Because when somebody is living with another woman or another man, they cannot say that they have remained faithful. The Pharisees were unfaithful because human opinion was more important than the Bible. Today and throughout history, there have been times when unfaithfulness has been displayed because human tradition competes with the work of Christ. And when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said, don't take it for granted that I love you. You love me day by day. I do love you. But you are to love me day by day. Friends, God says to us this morning, God knows your hearts. The heart of God is a faithful, sacrificial, loving heart. The human heart without God is a divided heart. The Christian heart must be and is a thankful heart. A heart that continually looks back and says, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. But it is also a faithful heart which says, today, Lord, I love you more than anyone else. This pulls me. That distracts me. But I have got eyes for no one else but you. Can you say that this morning, friends? That you love no one other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself to save you, and his Father, who sent his Son, and his Holy Spirit, who has drawn you to himself. May God help each of us to avoid the sin of spiritual adultery and to declare, I love the Lord because he's loved me and I'm committed to him. Amen.